And hello, everyone. Today we're following on from last week's story, and you need to listen really well because I've got some questions later. So, Dave, if you can play the true story for this week, that would be brilliant.
Today's true story from the Bible follows on from last week's and tells us about the second chances that God gave his people. See if you can spot those second chances as they happen. I've got Teddy here with me, and he's going to help us so that we don't miss any of them. So can you remember how we left the story last week? Moses was up a mountain talking to God for quite a long time. And while he was up there, the people made and worshipped a golden calf. How did Moses feel when he came down the mountain and saw what was going on? Well, he was very angry and he threw down the Ten Commandments that he was carrying and they broke. And how do you think God felt about what his people were doing, worshipping a golden calf instead of him? He was frustrated and angry too. He told Moses that the people must leave. Incredibly, in his kindness, he said that they could still have the promised land with an angel to guide them there. Just a minute, Teddy. But God would not go with them. He was afraid that he might destroy his chosen people on the way because they were so stubborn. What a terrifying thought that God would actually leave his people. Yes, Teddy, yes. Yes, you're right. God did give his people a second chance. Did you spot that too? Although God won't go with them, he very generously keeps his promise to give the people the land. And he gives them an angel to guide them there. Thank you, Teddy. Well, how do you think Moses feels about God not going with them? He doesn't like the idea, so he prays to God. He asks for the chance to please God again, and he reminds God that these are his chosen people. So God says that he will go with Moses. Yes, Teddy? Yes, have you seen another second chance? Did you see it too? That's right, God listens to Moses. He isn't angry with Moses, so he says he'll be with Moses, but not with the people. Well, Moses prays to God again and says that if God won't go with them all, they'd rather stay in the desert. They want to be God's people, not to be the same as any other people. Well, in his generosity, and because Moses has pleased God, God says he'll go with them all. Yes, Teddy, yes, I noticed that second chance too. It's amazing how God generously listens to Moses again. And because he's happy with what Moses says, he is kind and agrees to go with the people. Moses then prays to God and asks God to show himself to Moses. You see, Moses wants to know him properly. God says Moses can see him, but only his back and not his face. If Moses sees God's face, he will die. So God tells Moses to hide in a crack in a rock. He'll cover Moses with his hand so that Moses cannot see God's face. And God will walk by, and when God has passed, he'll take his hand away so that Moses can see God's back. Now, before showing himself to Moses, God asks him to bring two more stone tablets up the mountain so that God can write the Ten Commandments on them. They'll replace the ones that Moses broke. While Moses is up the mountain, God comes down in a cloud and not only shows himself to Moses, but in his kindness, he also tells Moses what he is like. He shows mercy and is kind. He doesn't become angry quickly. He has great love and faithfulness. He is kind to thousands of people. He forgives people for turning against him. But God says that he will punish guilty people. Yes, Teddy, I know. Just wait and let me finish this bit. Moses quickly bowed down to the ground and worshipped God. He asked God to forgive the people and to make them his own people again. And do you know what our loving and generous God said? He said he would. And more than that, that he would do amazing miracles for them. Yes, Teddy, are you amazed as I was? God gives them another second chance. He does so much more than Moses asks. Not only will he go with his people, but he will do great things for them. Now, in spite of the bad things they did, they have a new special friendship with God again. And as proof of this, God gives them a new set of stone tablets.
Well, apologies to those of you who couldn't hear that terribly well, but I hope that you got the general gist of it. And that general gist was that God gave his people lots and lots of second chances. I don't know if you remember, the week before last, we discovered that God is holy, so God and sin don't mix. And last week, we learned that you can't give God a makeover. He is who he is, and he doesn't change according to our wishes. So God is still the same today as he was 3,500 years ago when all this happened. He still hates sin. So because God's people were sinful and God and sin don't mix, his people need someone to speak to God on their behalf, someone to make peace between them and God.
Very much.
It was Moses. Because of their sin, God's people needed Moses to make peace between them and God. Moses is what's known as a mediator between God and the people. So what is a mediator? It's someone who helps people to sort out problems between themselves or between themselves and another person. Now, to give you an example, I needed the help of a mediator the other day, and Dave's going to show us what happened. Can you help me, please? I've done something really awful, and I need someone to plead with God on my behalf. And it's so embarrassing. I just can't speak to him myself about it. It's too awful.
Oh, Bridget, I'm really sorry. I'm not sure I'm in a position to do that, but can you tell me what it is you've done? It surely can't be that bad.
Well, I think it is. I had some money and I had it set aside and I was going to give it to the church heating project. And then I saw something else and I spent all the money on that instead. It's so embarrassing.
Oh dear. That's not your best move. Can you tell me what it is you bought?
It was a Lamborghini.
Oh no, Bridget, that is bad. You spent
it is.
In car. Oh goodness. Okay, let's not panic. How about I speak to God on your behalf? I could use the chat function and I could just explain the situation to him. Hold on a second. Hold on, I think he's replying. He says he's really cross, Bridget.
I knew he would be. I'm so, so sorry. It was so stupid of me. I just can't believe it.
Let me tell him that. Let me tell him how you're feeling. Hold on. Okay, he says he knows it was stupid and he knows that you're really, really sorry. Hold on. Bridget, he says he'll forgive you.
Oh, goodness me. That's so amazing. That's such a relief. Thank you, Katie. Thank you so much for mediating between God and me. Thank you.
No problem. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. So do you see what a mediator is? Maybe a teacher has been a mediator between you and a friend if you've fallen out, or maybe you've been a mediator between two friends of yours if they've argued. Well, Moses was a mediator too, and he sorted out problems between the people and God. Who can tell me how Moses mediated between the people and God? That's right, Moses prayed to God, he talked to God, and he pleaded with God, didn't he, for the people. He pleaded with them. And sadly, we are no different to God's people 3,500 years ago. Because of our sin, we need a mediator with God too. So what did our gracious God do about our need for a mediator? Well, amazingly, he sent his son Jesus to be our mediator, to make peace between us and God by pleading with God for us, like Moses had done. In Jesus, God has given us an even better mediator than Moses. You see, Moses was not perfect. He's human like us, and he sinned like we do. But Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And because Jesus came as both human and God, he lived a perfect, sinless life. So by sending Jesus, God has given us a perfect mediator. And that means that, like his people 3,500 years ago, we get second chances too. Who can remember early in our story what God was prepared to do because his people were so stubborn and made him so frustrated and angry? What was God prepared to do because of that? He was prepared to leave his people, wasn't he? To let them go on without him. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that's a terrifying thought. But the good news is that because of Jesus' perfection and his relationship with God, we know that he is at God's right hand pleading for us. And incredibly, that means that we can never do something so awful that God will walk away from us, as long as we keep trusting in our one perfect mediator, his son, Jesus Christ.
Great. And now I think Zarina is due to bring us our reading.
This is a reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. Instructions on worship. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone, and lovely to see you and the snow. I do love the snow. Thank you, Bridget, for that brilliant piece of introduction this morning for the story. That was absolutely wonderful and is really helpful to me as I come now to try and expand a little bit on what we heard, but to think about things that come out from that. Think about how it's necessary for us to trust in God, how he gave us Jesus Christ as our Saviour, and he walks beside us. So when it comes to Christian faith, we'd all like certainties, wouldn't we? And that's especially true when we're going through difficult times, but perhaps even more so when we're now so worried about COVID. When will we get our jabs? Certainty in faith would be wonderful. We all struggle at times, me included. Sometimes being a Christian is a real struggle, and we find ourselves sorely tried. So yes, in faith, certainty would be wonderful. but it isn't the experience that most of us have, unfortunately. Instead, we mostly struggle in a sort of in-between place. We know God is real. He gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, as our mediator, as our guide, and he will shepherd us through our lives. And we know the Christian faith is true, but our experience often means that we're left clinging by our fingertips. Instead of living that deep down joy and confidence that we think is the most common experience for everyone else. So, do I have an answer to the problem today? No, I don't. But what I can say is that this sense of struggle, this lack of certainty, is common. And we have seen it in that story today. 3,500 years ago, those Jewish people were having the same uncertainties. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on that cross, was heard to cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Hard as it may be to comprehend, the place of struggle is the norm. It's the normal Christian experience. And what we must do is to somehow find our peace in that place rather than constantly battling it or trying to escape. As I said, our reading from Exodus this morning is a testimony to just that truth. Moses had received the call of God on his life to go to Egypt and to set the Jewish people free. And he was still torn by doubt. He was struggling. We see in our reading in verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me." Poor Moses. He was in a place that many of us find ourselves. He was facing a future that looked incredibly difficult, and he didn't feel like he had enough facts to face the future with confidence. He was frightened for the future, and he was asking God to fill in the gaps for him so he could face the future with less fear and more confidence. So we are not alone with God, especially in times of difficulty, questioning God's character. And perhaps we all feel guilty when we do this, but I don't think that we need to. I think it's a perfectly normal behavior. And if even Moses did it, then perhaps it's understandable that we, weak as we are, will fall at times into that same pattern of behavior. But what is God's response when Moses once again questions his instructions? Does he get angry? Does he tell Moses to grow up? Does he accuse Moses of being weak in faith and too childish? No. God meets that type of questioning with compassion and in kindness. In verse 14 of that reading, God said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Moses' words of fear, doubt, and vulnerability were met by God's words of kindness and compassion, and above all, love. There is a deep intimacy that we all have, and we can see this from God. In verse 17 of the reading, God says, "I know you by name." Now, names are really important things. They make a statement of who we are and they define relationships. So when God says to Moses, "I know you by name," he's making a profoundly deep statement about knowing Moses, every need, every fear, every doubt, every vulnerability. And he's also making a statement about the relationship he has with Moses. He knows Moses. He knows him intimately, and despite the circumstances of Moses' life, he can rest easy in that one fact. The same is true for you and for me, of course. When we struggle, when we face dark times, when we need to come to God, we want answers, we want certainties. But that is not the first thing that God offers. Instead, he offers something far more profound, something far deeper, something much more longer lasting. As with Moses, he says to each one of us, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I know your name." It may not feel like it for you right now, but God is with you. God promises you rest, and God knows your deepest need, and he is with you all the way. The experience of Moses is the same experience open to each one of us today. But for us, through God's own Son, Jesus Christ. That's all very well. I can hear some of you saying that. And I can even understand if you feel that what I've said sounds trite. Knowing the sufferings that many of you and others are going through, the dark places that many of you and others are inhabiting right now, it seems a bit shallow of me to just say, "Don't worry. God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son, is with you. He will give you rest. He understands." Rightly, you could get very frustrated with me. And if that was the best I had to offer, then I'd understand it. But Moses wanted more too. He wasn't quite satisfied with God's answer. And so in verse 18, he pushes God further. He says, "Show me your glory, I pray." Have you ever done that? I know I have, many times. Well, isn't that what Moses is doing? "Show me your glory, I pray." He wants a sign. He wants something tangible to prove God's promises are true. Surely that's not too much to ask. But God's response is ever more enigmatic. In verse 20, he says these words, "But you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." Is that a great get-out clause, I wonder? Is that God making promises to us that he will be with us, but he won't actually let us see him or physically experience him? That's frustrating. In fact, it's damned annoying. So we just have to go on trusting God's word. But sometimes we're left wondering if we're making it all up. As if this Christianity business is just pie in the sky, wishful thinking, a nice story to get through the tough times in life. Well, if I were to leave the story here, that may well be the case. But that isn't the end of the story. Because whilst God doesn't make it implicit here, there is something that he says which gives us a chink of light in our darkness. There's a phrase which he uses twice in verse 22 that leads us to a better place of understanding. He says, "While my glory passes by, I will put you into the cleft of a rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed." Twice in this verse, God uses the idea of passing by Moses. And then, even more clearly, in verse 23, he says, "Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back." Now, it seems to me that God is teaching us a very important lesson here. For when we struggle in life, we often cannot see when God is here. But we will recognize him when he's passed by. We cannot see the face of God, but we can see his back. The truth is, when we're in dark times in our lives, we may not be able to see God, but we can know him by his past deeds, his past acts. We can know God's faithfulness in the present day as we learn to look back on our lives and think through how he has always been faithful to us in the past. We can be sure that God will not leave us alone now as we learn to look back on our lives and think through how he never deserted us when we were struggling. We may not be able to see God today, but we remember his love and his faithfulness from when he passed by before. We may not feel God today, but we remember his compassion and kindness as we see his back in our past. God teaches each one of us, "My presence will be with you, and I will give you rest. I know your name." And whilst our present experience may not mean that we can see or feel that, our history is proof of the fact that God's promise is true. And so we can trust his word for today and tomorrow. During our present struggles, God will put us in the cleft of a rock, and he will cover us with his hand, and his glory is closer than you may think. Even if you can't hear it, even if you can't see it, and this isn't wishful thinking, this isn't pie in the sky. This is truth that has been testified to throughout history, throughout all of history. So, no, I don't have any magic words today to take away any pain that you may feel, if that is where you are today. But what I'd like to do is to signpost you to a God who, through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, protects you, covers you with his hand, and promises to be present with you in your past. And he knows you by name. And someday soon, when we've passed through the current struggles, we will be able to testify again the real joy in our hearts about the God who has passed by this day, and in a way that we have not yet been able to comprehend. He has given us strength to endure, because he gave us a wonderful mediator, a guide, and his name is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. And he will be enough for you and for me today, tomorrow, and every day until this storm passes. Amen.